Hello.
I told you. I told you.
Hi.
Honey is in Israel.
Hello.
Hi.
Yay, we miss her. I keep
I
calling
know.
her
She's
for dinner.
made
She's not there.
We like having her.
We liked having her, yeah. She sounded so happy when I spoke to
Oh,
her.
yeah,
Just
she's
so
very happy. Yes, she's having great
calm and
time.
happy.
She is in quarantine with five of her newest best friends. They can't leave the apartment. But they have roof access, so she's happy.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference to have a little access to air. Aaron was in quarantine for 2 weeks and he
Yeah.
did not go outside. It was actually scaring me because his sleep was all messed up. He didn't see the sun. He was in a basement
Oh
apartment. I was
no.
just like, God, this is sick.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So they're doing fine. They're cooking, they're getting deliveries. They rigged
Good.
up some kind of pulley system with the other apartments down the Merpesets. Connie's like
Wow.
that. She built
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
she built a
She's an
duck right into
engineer.
go from one
Yeah,
to
wow.
the next.
Love that.
Evidently one of the
So,
other
what school
seminars.
is she at?
What else have you got?
The Nos Abigail. So, she knew girls going there, or they're all new people?
Well, she knew a lot of them. They've begun, she's gone to camp with a lot of the girls,
Okay.
and they've been doing Zoom classes for the past month.
Oh, great.
So
So, it
they know
wasn't
each
all
other.
new. Love it.
Anyway, one
Really
of the seminaries
nice.
that just came in after Sukkot got raided by the health police. They were like visiting
Really?
each other's dorm rooms, and they got fined.
Yeah, no, Aaron was scared to go outside. They called him. They said they were going to come visit. They wanted to know. They were tracking him basically with his phone.
Right.
And he was terrified because he knows how they are. He was in the army and he knows the police. He did not go outside. I'm like, you can take out the garbage. He's like, I have a roach. I'm like, well, you can take out the dead bugs, can't you? He's like, no.
Wow, is he okay?
He was scared. He's out. Yeah, thank God he's out of the quarantine. He got out Tuesday night, so life is back to semi-normal.
Let me know. Okay, we're
Well,
gonna
we'll
switch
take
their
that.
screen. I can share my iPhone, I can share a whiteboard. Interesting. Okay. We should start. Shabbos is getting earlier and earlier. Hi, Janet. You're muted. Okay, we're gonna look at talk about Parshat Noah. Start with a joke. I've said this one before about two guys learning Talmud for 20 years. One of them says to the other one, "You know, my daughter's getting married next month. Mazel tov. Yeah, we've been learning for years. I'd like to honor you with being one of the witnesses at the chuppah." And says, "I can't." "Why can't you? I'm not Jewish." "What do you mean you're not Jewish? We've been learning together for 20 years, we've been chavrusas. You're as firm as I am." "I enjoy the intellectual stimulation." "We learned the Gentile, non-Jew, they keep Shabbos is chayav misa." "I never kept Shabbos. Every time I was ready to leave the house, I put a key in my pocket." "We have an Erev." "I don't hold from that Erev." Everyone laugh appropriately there, right? So we've talked about that. Those are the kinds of learning what an Erev is, what it means not to hold by an Erev. But looking at this idea that a Gentile that keeps Shabbos is chayav misa, that actually comes from this week's parsha. Gemara in Sanhedrin. Amar Reish Lakish, Goy sheshavat chayav mita. A non-Jew, other texts have Akum, that rests, that has a Shabbat is liable for death, which sounds pretty extreme. Shneamar, why do we say that? But the pasuk says, Lo yom v'layla lo yishbotu. Day and night they shall not have Shabbat. The problem with that is that's a drush understanding. The pasuk, the pshat, is clearly not that way. Because what's the pshat of the pasuk? The context is the Noah, the story of the flood. After the flood, Noah comes out of the ark. He builds an altar. He offers sacrifices. In source three, Vayerach Hashem et Reach et Yichoach, Hashem smelled, appreciated the sweet savor. Vayomer Hashem Libo, and Hashem says to himself, Lo osif lekalel od et hadama. I will no longer curse the land, bavur hadam, because of man. Ki yetzer la lev hadam rav min arav, for the heart, the yetzer heart, the nature of man is to be evil from his youth. And I will not wipe out all living things the way I did. From now on, all the future days of the land, Zera v'Katzir, the seasons of planting and of harvesting, Kibokor v'Chom, and cold and warmth, the Kites of Choref, summer and winter, the Yom V'Laila, day and night, Lo Yishbotu, will not rest. So Pshat of this Pasuk, hi Leah, clearly is that Hashem is making a promise about the way the world works. As Rashi says, Lo Yishbotu, they will not rest. Lo yifsuku kol ela mehit naheg kesidran. That they, the seasons, the earth going around the sun day and night, the earth revolving around its own axis, will not change. Those the laws of nature will not change from now on. That's what lo mevalayla lo yishbotu means as a pshat. So what does it mean that Reish Lakish says? Well, no, it says that going that keeps Shabbos is Chayav Mitzvah. Where does that come from? So that's one problem, right? What is that? Where do we get this drasha, the pasuk from? The second question is really that there's a better source.
And Danny, about Shabbat, I thought the people that work for you also have to have Shabbat.
That's true too. So what does that even mean?
They're not Jewish.
You're right. That's a good point, and we have to look at that. So we have the idea that non-Jew shouldn't keep Shabbat, right? That my friend with the Arab should put his key in his pocket. And we have people who are in the process of converting. Before they've actually formally converted, if they're not Jewish, they will do something on Shabbat to say they're not keeping it. But your question is a perfect one. You know, you're not supposed to have the people who work for you, right? Avadim need to keep Shabbat. So let's look at that. But I want to look at a better source, the idea that Shabbos is something special for Jews. Non-Jews aren't supposed to keep Shabbos. That's from what we say in Kiddush and on Friday night. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael t'Shabbat. B'nei Yisrael should keep Shabbat. L'asod Shabbat, make Shabbos. L'doratam brit alam, for eternal covenant for their generations. B'nei Yuvim b'nei Yisrael otil li'olam. This is a sign between me and b'nei Yisrael, Hashem is saying. Forever. For God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, Hashem rested. But it's that's a good source. In fact, that's a source in the Medrash in Devarim Rabbah.
We see that in davening.
That's right. That's from this pasuk. Right. That's what we quote that immediately after.
Oh.
Right. Otili olam. Right. This is the Medrash, Umara ita lomar gar shashamar teshabat chayiv mita. Why do you say that a non-Jew that keeps Shabbos is chayiv mita? Rabbi Chia bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. No. Here's a mashal. B'noheg sheba olam, the way things work in the world, melech umatrona, a king, and I think I have to translate this as his mistress, Yoshvim u'mesichim zeim zeh, are sitting and talking to one another. They're having an intimate conversation. Misha ba u'mnachnis atzmo b'nehem. Someone runs in and runs between them. Eino chayav mita, certainly will be put to death. That's certainly a less than measure stay. They're certainly insulting the king. Kacha Shabbat hazu ben Yisrael ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, Shabbos is something intimate between Hashem and B'nai Yisrael. As it says, Shneamar b'ni u'bein b'nei Yisrael, it's between me and b'nei Yisrael. V'pichach, therefore, kol goy shabbat u'machiz asbo b'neihem. So a non-Jew who keeps Shabbat is taking this oath, is claiming the oath for himself when that's not appropriate. It's something that's personal between b'nei Yisrael and Hashem. Ad shlo kibo alamul, until he actually accepts the meal, until this non-Jew actually converts, then they can keep Shabbat. Chayav mita. That fits in the shot of the idea of what Otil Beni Bnei Yisrael would mean. But with this, though, it gives a reason. Ki sheshi amim asa Hashem et Hashemayim et Haaretz. But that doesn't make any sense. Because creation happened for everybody. Right? It's an oath between me and Bnei Yisrael because Hashem created the entire universe. The because doesn't work. So I would read that as the key here And also the key back here about ki yetzer lev ha'adam raminu arav, that Hashem promises not to destroy the world. Ki, not as because, but despite. Where's the key in? So in other words, Hashem, after the Mabul, promises, I will not curse the land ever again. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam raminu arav, even though, despite the fact that man's nature is ra, and that he will do wrong again, but still, lo osif od lahakota ta'aret kolchai. I will not attack, I will not destroy all life again. I'm going to commit myself to human beings. We're not going to replace them with bears or lobsters or whatever species you want to give sentience to. And similarly here, that Hashem says, beiniyu ben b'nei Yisrael oti le'olam, that is a sign between me and b'nei Yisrael forever, ki sheshem memim, even though, despite the fact, discounting the fact that Hashem created the world in 7 days, and that's where Shabbos comes from, still it only belongs to B'nai Israel. So I would read the drasha saying, so on our pasuk about when it says, Od kol yimei ha'aretz, zera v'katzir v'chor v'chom v'kais v'chor, lo v'layla, lo yishbotu. The drasha in that, it means lo yishbotu, means they should not keep Shabbat. That's a general rule. No one should keep Shabbat. Period. A special exception was an oath given to B'nai Israel. At Mount Torah, Hashem says, okay, you're right, no one should keep Shabbos, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to allow you to keep Shabbos. That's a special dispensation. That's the Brit Olam. Which still doesn't make sense to me, because why should that be the case? Why should you not be allowed to? We're not supposed to keep Shabbos for anybody, as a general rule, because it's such a good idea, right? Everyone needs that day off. And I want to read this. This was from an essay from a not religious Jew, but someone who thinks well, talking about the value of Shabbos. Why keep Shabbos? Aside from the religious reasons, I mean, in terms of lishbot, to not do malacha, don't do a work. What does that mean? If you don't assume, like a modern consumerist, that work is what you do for money and leisure what you spend money on, then what is work? Because it's nothing to do with whether you're being paid for it or not. What is the malacha that we don't do on Shabbos? The activity of keeping up with reality. In a civilized society with specialization of labor, your work is productive because it's integrated with work for many others. Work is the practice of keeping up with a predominant social reality. That's what malacha is. And I think it's a nice way of looking at it. That's what we don't do on Shabbos. Is all the things that we need to do to keep up with our social reality. You know, prepare beforehand, and it just has to happen on Shabbos. He goes on, some automation plans make sure they include what they call a human in the loop. The idea is that at some point, even if it's completely automated, every decision is reviewed by a human being. So you can think of Sabbath as playing life on hard mode, meaning we're doing things are harder on Shabbos, but that's okay because it makes sure there's a human in the loop, that we're not just doing things on automatic. Yeah, we do this as we wake up, we go through the same routine every single day. Stop and think about the things that you're doing. Stop doing the things you're doing. Make sure they're really necessary to do. You would not want to do this sort of thing all the time, but it might make sense to do it periodically, perhaps once a week, right? As a stopgap measure to combat attention drift, powerful and pervasive cultural forces out to get you, you ought to check in from time to time with yourself and other people with whom you have a local, high-quality relationship to give yourself a chance to notice whether you've been got far too much, right? Are the things I'm doing every single day automatically, one after the other, are they good for me? That's what Shabbos gives us. Take time out from the keeping up with reality. One more useful attribute of Jewish Sabbath is the extent to which its rigid rules generate friction in emergency situations. Meaning, if your community center is not within walking distance, if there's not enough slack in your schedule to prep things a day in advance, or you're too poor to go a day without work, or too locally isolated to last a day without broadcast entertainment, then things are not okay. If you cannot keep Shabbos, then there's a problem. You can't stop doing the things that you do every single day, then you know there's a problem. Shabbos acts as an alarm. In our commercialized society, there were many opportunities to purchase palliatives. and these pietas are often worth purchasing. Living close to your place of employment would be ruinously expensive. You drive or take public transit. If you don't have time to feed yourself, you buy fast food. If you're not up for talking with a friend in person, you don't have time or don't have the friends, there's Facebook. This is palliative care for a chronic problem. Right? If those things are true, then Facebook and the feeding yourself and all that, that's only palliation. You need to have a Shabbos to tell you things are not right. And Jewish law is permissible to break the Sabbath in an emergency situation when lives are at stake. So therefore, something like the Orthodox Sabbath seems impossibly hard. Or if you try to keep it, but end up breaking it every single week, as my Reformed Jewish family did, then you consider that perhaps, despite the propaganda of the palliatives, you are in a permanent state of emergency. This is not okay. You are not doing okay. I like the way he put that, because it gives you a very secular reason that Shabbos is important. Stop doing malacha of creative work, because if you can't do that, then you have a real problem. So once a week, take a step back and say, okay, these are the things that need to happen in my life. These are the things that don't. This is what's important. And it's important to work for 6 days a week. But that gives a problem that we just said that it's a wonderful thing to do Shabbos, but Gemara says that in general, human beings cannot, lo yishbotu, cannot keep Shabbos. Cannot not do work. Why?
Danny, I just want to say something about malacha.
Uh-huh.
I think it was Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik talked about the idea that malacha is creative, productive work that we do during the week.
Yes.
That there's nothing wrong with malacha, but on Shabbat, that's a different kind of time.
Right. So that's exactly his point. It's not what you're paid for, not whether it's whether it takes a lot of effort. That's not what work is. It's the creative side of it. It's important to do that. That's part of being human. But Shabbos is a time to take the break from that. So why does the Gemara say that non-Jews can't do it? And the implication is that nobody should do it. Hashem gave us a special gift. I use allowing you to do it. And what your point is that it's not clear that non-Jews are forbidden because we have the idea of 6 days you work, and 7th day we rest, have Shabbat. Right? It says that. Benamatecha v'ager, Gemara says, Ma'ani mekayem v'inafesh benamatecha. What does benamatecha mean? That's Eved Arel. That's an Eved Kanani. So our actual Avadim needs to keep Shabbat. V'ager is a ger toshav. A non-Jew who commits to keeping the Shiva mitzvah in Noah needs to keep Shabbat. Exact opposite of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And Rashi, in fact, says that, ger toshav, what does that mean? Shekiba alav shelo lavod avodat kochavim. Ochel nevodat. A non-Jew is committed to not worship idols. Again, this whole Shiva mitzvah in Noah, avodat kochavim is one of them. Zela dinim. All of that, but still eats non-kosher. In other words, a Noahide. Is hira katuv al Shabbat. And Hashem, and the pasuk says, such a person really needs to keep Shabbat also. Mechal al Shabbat ke'oved avodah kachavim. Because not keeping Shabbos, you're is like worshiping idols, you're denying Hashem creating the world. And that's Rashi. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi because of our Gemara that says, a goy shabbat mita. But it's clearly more complicated than we're saying. Than what we're saying. It's not simple, okay, non-Jews can't keep Shabbat. So what does that mean? Goy she Shabbat chayav mita. So this is going to be from the MS Yaakov. Yaakov Kamenetsky. What does the Gemara mean when it says, Goy she Shabbat chayav mita? Because it says, Yom v'layla lo yishbotu. When the Pasuk doesn't mean that, the Pasuk means that the laws of nature will never change. And clearly, a non-Jew that kept Shabbat is not Chayav Mita, and it's probably a good thing if we keep Shabbos. What are we talking about? So this is the MSB Yaakov. Aval Nira, it appears. The Emet Kavanat HaGemara, that the implication of the Gemara that said, Goy Shabbat Chayav Mita, he la'omek pshuto shel mikra. is actually consistent with the depth of the pshat of this pasuk of Yom V'Laila Yishpotu, that day and night will never cease. The Khan, that with this pasuk, Yila Alanu Hashem Yitbarach, Hashem has revealed to us, Shehanagat Olam, that the way the world works, Hiya Ba'open Acher, is changed after the Mabul, the Achar Mabul, after the flood. Yimasha Hayta Kor Mabul, from the way it was in antediluvian times. I like that word. Antediluvian, before the flood. Right? The world is different. There's a new creation, and Nachum Gedenach says, and this is OU, the Bar Torah. It's a new world. The Kodem HaMabul, before the flood, in a Hega Kodesh Baruch Hu im Om Olamo, that Hashem worked the world, ran the world, but often in a manner, Shehaya Efshar Lirot Ba'alil, that you could see cause and effect, Ki Olam HaMukudash, that Hashem created the world. V'hainu Shelo Haya Teva Kavua, and that the reason was that laws of nature were not fixed. I have no idea how one imagines a world in which there are no laws of nature. But Albert Einstein said, the most incomprehensible thing about the universe is that it is comprehensible. It implied in some sense that there wasn't something you could figure out, that this is the way the world works. That in a way that you could never change. That's not the way the world worked beforehand. That was Hashem making a promise. Now, Yom V'Laila Yishpotu, that the laws of nature will not change. It was clear that Hashem was running the world, and it was imperative at every time. It was clear that there was an active creator at all times. But now, what we look at, the promise of Hashem, that from now, that the world would work, that the world would look as though it was eternal, that there are permanent and eternal laws of nature, meaning that everything's set, there's an order, that everything works by itself, without any operator, without any creator. That's the new world after the flood. That's what it means to say, Yom V'Laila Lo Yishpotu. V'chein Azera B'Katir V'Chom V'Chom. And therefore, planting and harvesting and warmth and cold, Yom V'Laila Lo Yishpotu, they will never cease. Ela Yitnagu L'Fi Seder Shenikva Merosh, they will go continuing along the path that has been determined beforehand. Ki'ili V'Ein La'Ol Mashkiach T'midi, as though the world is not constantly being monitored. That sets the world up. You can look at the world and figure it out, and there's no, Hashem created a world in which Hashem doesn't exist, the way I want to put it. Zui Oma Kavanat Hashem Yiparach. That's what the depth of, that's what it really means to say, Yom Olayla Yishpotu, Batachat Ol Kumei Arts, Lo Yishpotu. They will never change. Right? So what they say, the pshat of the pasuk, Yom V'Laila Yishpotu, is that it's a statement from now on. After the Mabul, we are changing the rules of the world, and from here on now, the laws of nature will not change. None of this arbitrariness, none of this random miracles that happen every moment. Whatever the world looked like beforehand, the world is now different. Scientific method now works. We now have an epistemological regime where I can use science and figure out how the world works. We'll not see the hand of Hashem in every aspect of creation. But the Omek Pshuto, the implications of that, we look at deeply, it's about the past, not about the future. Meaning that when we look at the universe, we see the laws of nature are constant, so we can extrapolate backwards and figure out where things started. We end up with cosmology, like where does the universe start? We start with a big bang. But the laws of physics are always there, are always constant, always unchanged. So looking back at the world, it tells us nothing about how Hashem creates the world. We have no evidence for creation in the world anymore. Again, lo yishpotu from here on in means that I can extrapolate backwards. And I don't see God anywhere in there. So what does that do with Shemirat Shabbat? That should be Shemirat Shabbat, not Shabbat Shabbat. How does that connect to Shabbat? The answer is that Shabbat is our imitativ day. That is when we That's how we copy Hashem, right? That's halachta d'rachav. We're supposed to be just like Hashem. Just as Hashem rested from the work of creation, so too we rest from work, from malacha. What does that mean? We don't do the things that Hashem did in creation. What acts of malacha count as work from that point of view? If we are actually saying this act, lighting fire, turning on the lights, planting, is something that we need to keep Shabbat for, it means that we're saying that this particular activity was part of the act of creation. And we don't know that. We can't figure out what happened in part of creation. So claiming that I can keep Shabbat, just like Hashem kept Shabbat, is claiming I understand Maaseh Bereishit. And that's the Kamansky. L'chein akum sheshabbat chayav mita. Therefore, non-Jew keeps Shabbat is liable for death. Let's figure out what that means. Because if he keeps Shabbos, yachol lavo mizeh, you can come from there. Lidei ha'isur shel hitaklut, mashlefim u'mala achar. He's going to come to try, violate the prohibition against trying to figure out what happened before creation. How did creation work? Because in order to keep Shabbat, you have to know that. Nothing wrong with keeping Shabbat as a matter of resting. Take a weekend. That's fine. That's not the problem. Or even taking the time out to stop doing that, what it means to be human, stop being creative, and see what's actually necessary in our life, as Benjamin Hoffman put it in that essay I quoted. That's not a problem with Shabbat. The problem with Shabbat is saying, these are the melachot Shabbat because Hashem created the world, and you can't figure that out. Goyish Shabbat Chayav Mita is a gadik. It's not a halachic rule, because you're not allowed to figure out what how creation works.
Why not? Like, what's the problem with trying to figure it out?
That last one, right? Because it's beyond your ability to do that, and you're going to either go insane or become a heretic. That was the problem with Arba Shenichnas Lepardes.
Right? What?
Arba Shenichnas Lepardes, the four
right. Women. Oh, Arba Shenichnas, yeah.
That's what we said last time. We'll quote that again, right? And the fact is that we say that the actual halacha about this, this is the Kesef Mishnah. All these things where we say that's in the hands of heaven. Only in the hands of heaven. It's not like Beitin will come and say, okay, you're guilty of this horrible crime of keeping Shabbos. We're going to stone you. That's not what it means. Because keeping Shabbat means you have to look into Maaseh Bereishit. That's a bad idea. That's Gemara Chagiga. You know, it's possible a person can look at what happened before the world was created. No, Pasuk says, Tam Lomar, you shall not, because you should look at the original days of Shayul Fanech, for all, look in the past about the things in your history that happened before you. From the time that man was created. Before that, you are not going to know the answer. Not that cosmology and geology are usher, but if you just look at the world as it is, you're going to extrapolate backwards in a scientific sense. You're not going to end up in Maaseh Bereishit. And those are different things. Hashem created a world in which Maaseh Bereishit is now hidden.
I'm going to say, Danny,
yeah,
that somebody said there's a mitzvah to Ahavat Hashem. And
yes.
How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem? And they said by studying God's creation that there was actually a mitzvah to study science. So it seems like you're talking about specifically how actually the whole world was created that we're never really going to know.
Right. So what I'm talking about is the mystical Kabbalistic sense, mm-hmm, that you will never know. The scientific, absolutely. I'm saying there's nothing wrong with cosmology, but don't think through that you understand creation. And yes, I will quote Stephen Hawking in A Brief History of Time, where he says exactly that. Hawking is wrong, but yes, you should surely understand science because that is the world that Hashem has created. That's a good thing. That's part of Gilui Ratzon Hashem, talk about the Asar Ma'arot. That is part of Hashem. That's what the Rambam says. That's how you get to the point of Ahavat Hashem. That's good. That's not the Maaseh Bereishit that we're talking about. There's a great line from St. Augustine I can quote, right? Behold, answer to him who asks, what was God doing before he made heaven and earth? And I answer not, as opposed to, he quotes a facetious answer that before that, He's preparing hell for those who pry into mysteries. So that's what Hashem was doing for creation. No.
But Danny, doesn't it have to do if you're a Jew or not Jew?
Right. This is for everyone. Do not keep Shabbos, because keeping Shabbos is the arrogance of saying, I understand creation.
Ah.
Right. We haven't dealt with the problem of what are we doing in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's getting closer. Right. And this is it. And this is Stephen Hawking. Wonderful book. Have you read Brief History of Time? Everyone should.
I saw the movie.
This is one of the books that people own but no, you know, own but don't read, but it's worth reading. Science seems to have uncovered a set of laws that tell us how the universe will develop with time. These laws may have originally been decreed by God. It appears that he has since left the universe to evolve according to them and does now not intervene in it. Why does the universe exist? If we find the answer to that, it will be ultimate triumph of human reason, for then we would know the mind of God. That's why it's Chayav Misa to keep Shabbos, because that's what you're thinking if you think you can keep Shabbos.
Is that why it's Avodah Zarah? Because you think you know Hashem, but you don't. You're knowing the wrong Hashem, so to speak.
No, but the Avodah Zarah side is if you don't keep Shabbos, you're denying Hashem's creation.
Oh, right. Okay?
If I don't keep Shabbos, then I'm denying Hashem created the world. If I do keep Shabbos, then I'm claiming to know how Hashem created the world.
Right, which you don't.
It's a bad thing. We're stuck. And then I quote...
Is this connected to the Eitz...
Hadat?
Yeah, the Eitz Hadat? That we're not supposed to eat of that?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's wrong with Dad here. It's just nature of the impossibility of knowing some about... Understanding that the nature of creation, right? And we had that... We quoted this last time about the Arba Shneis, the part that is in the Ben Zoma, who's studying Masa Bresha, right? Masa Rabbi Yeshua, Shaya Metallic Bestrata, Shaya Ben Zoma, Banakendo, that Yabba Yeshua is walking, and Ben Zoma, who had nifted the Pardes, was Nifka, and went mad from what he was studying. We quoted this, right? That Yeshua meets Ben Zoma, and Ben Zoma doesn't answer. Not paying attention, he's in his own world. Marlo, Ma'ain, I am Ben Zoma. He asked him, where are you coming from? Marlo, Tzofe Hayiti B'Masa Bereshit. I was looking into Masa Bereshit. Not that I was reading A Brief History of Time, but I was looking into the Kabbalistic side, reading my Sefer Yetzirah. Amar Lahem Rabbi Yeshua, Tamidav, Rabbi Yeshua says to his students, Kvar Ben Zoma Mibachutz, Ben Zoma is God. He's lost it. It was only a few days later, and Ben Zoma died. It's a dangerous thing, right? Because we cannot understand that. You understand your creation, go ahead and look at the world as it is. That includes the promise of Yom Ha'Yishbotu. So when it says, Goy Sheshava Chayav Mita, it is like the Mechayav and Afsho, we see the Aperk Keavot, right? Someone's in the Halech with Derech, Umafsik Mishanto, someone's walking and stops to say, this is a beautiful tree. It's considered as though he's lost his life. Not that you're put to death, but you have done something that is fundamentally mentally incompatible with you as a human being. So, Shemirat Shabbat as a way of imitating Hashem is dangerous. We cannot know what melachot we have to rest from without understanding Maaseh Bereishit. And we can't understand Maaseh Bereishit. The pasuk of Lom V'Lai Lo Yishbotu assures us that the world laws of physics will appear to be eternally unchanging. And extrapolating backwards, we end up with a big bang, but not tell us about anything about Bereishit. So then what are we doing keeping Shabbos? That's because Hashem tells us, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael to Shabbat. Hashem says, you need to keep Shabbos. Because b'niu ben b'nei Yisrael otzhi li'olam, because it is a sign between Hashem and b'nei Yisrael forever. What is that oath? What is that sign? The context of that paragraph is Melechet HaMishkan. We're building the Mishkan. So that is our imitatio dei. That's our halakha b'ruach. That's what Hashem gives us. It's that we, not that we keep Shabbos, it's that we build a Mishkan. Hashem created the world to give human beings a space to exist and make their own decisions. So we, as Israel, we create a mikdash to bring space for Hashem to exist in our world. And so just as Hashem rested from the work of creating the world, so too we rest from the work of creating the mikdash. So the answer is the malacha that I don't do, the lamatem malacha of Shabbat, are the tasks that are used to build the Mishkan. We're not claiming they're the tasks that we're involved in creation of the world. Our Shabbat is resting from creating a mikdash, which is our job in the world. That's our task as a human being. So that's what we, if Hashem, by taking a break from, not from creating the world, not creating the universe, the malacha, in the sense of the actual Masa Bereshit, but from creating the mikdash. That's that practice of keeping up with the predominant social reality, as Benjamin Huffman put it. And that's what we need to keep in mind. That's where, and when we do that, the Shemirah Shabbat is safe.
I have a question.
So if you're, Lira's got a question, yes.
Is that why non-Jews are not allowed to Shabbos? Because they don't have mitzvahs? They're not commanded to build a Mishkan?
So I'm understanding that. So so Lira just asked, is that why non-Jews are not allowed to keep Shabbat? Because they don't have those mitzvahs. And I would say yes. That's the understanding from the Midrash, that it's the oath that is like the king and his matrona, and someone else jumping in between, that you need to have established that relationship first, of building, that you need to have built a mikdash in order for Shabbos to be relevant. If you're not going to have to build a mikdash, then keeping Shabbos is just copying somebody else's tradition. It's cultural appropriation.
But a non-Jew who's converting is building the mikdash. Like they're,
yes. Right, so... So whether they are halakhically required to violate Shabbat or not, I don't know. I suspect the answer is no, but they do it as this sign, okay, I'm not there yet. As an awareness of I'm not there yet.
Oh, they're not necessarily, you don't think they're halakhically required to do it.
I'm not going to judge that. I'm not going to tell you what to do halakhically. Right. Okay? But this understanding, if that's it. Because look at the wording in the Devarim Rabbah. Okay? Any non-Jew comes between Hashem and Israel. I shall lo kibel alav lim lamul. Committed to, not that the mila. The wording there is committed to mila there. So
interesting.
So I don't know if that, so ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Hello, local Orthodox rabbi.
I don't know.
I
haven't looked into the Shabbos part, but the Talmud, but the Goy learning, the issue of a Goy learning Torah is an interesting. There's definitely a discussion about that as well. So, I don't know about the Shabbos. I think practically speaking, we generally do somewhat encourage. We do encourage
but
them.
Is it a halachic thing, or is it?
No, as a halachic thing, we do encourage them still to at least violate one
right.
per Shabbat, but
right.
often we're not usually on top of conversion candidates with it, because we generally assume that because they don't entirely know what they're doing anyway, so they'll end up anyway inadvertently violating something. But,
okay.
But I think in general we assume that they do have to, they're not allowed to fully keep Shabbat still.
But at least the philosophy side of it is certainly that the only thing that justifies keeping Shabbos is building a mikdash, because otherwise, it's keeping Shabbos in the literal sense of I am resting from the work, just like Hashem rested, is a statement of knowing what Hashem did to have been resting from.
So we don't even Jews don't even claim that.
That's the point. We're not claiming that. We are claiming we are resting from building the mikdash. That's lamatet malachot.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if. If there are dissenting views in the Rishonim. I mean, if you read the Rambam carefully, I think the Rambam seems to understand that the prohibition of them studying Torah, and I think with Shabbos as well, was that it will lead to them creating their own religion. So I think there are some who have said based on that if they're doing it for sincere reasons, then it could be permissible to learn Torah and possibly with Shabbos as well. But I'm not sure.
I looked at that a little bit in the Rambam there. That's why I quoted the Kesef Mishnah.
I think the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva about that as well, where he takes that view, but it's been a while since I've seen that. But I don't know if everybody agrees with that, or if we rely on that you know, in practical law. But I'm sure there is, a perspective out there that, that wouldn't consider it that much of a problem if they really are sincere and doing it for the right reasons.
Again, that's the way I would read the words of the Divine Rabbah.
Right.
Kibbo lovlimo makes it okay.
So there's a Me'iri, I can't remember if he says about Shabbos, but the Me'iri, you know, spells out clearly, explicitly with learning Torah that if they're doing it for the right reasons, they could definitely, they're allowed to learn Torah.
This is a totally different issue.
Why, with Shabbos?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know if he says, I don't know if he mentions Shabbos as well. I can't remember.
And so everyone have a good Shabbos.
Danny, we're on for Sunday at 9?
Yes, we're on for Sunday.
And next week you're going to change the time for this.
Yes. Probably 2 o'clock, is that where that work out?
Yeah.
Or earlier?
Yeah, 2 o'clock is
earlier.
Okay.
Shabbat shalom.
Have a great Shabbos, everybody. Thank you, Danny.
Okay, have a good Shabbos.
Yeah. Oh, 2 works.
2 o'clock works. Yeah, there you go.
Right. Yeah. I also
want to point out that it's interesting the Tosefta that you brought about why Ben Zoba went mad. It's quite interesting because in the Gemara has like a completely different version of that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Gemara has a different story where, I mean, I showed that inside last week. There's a story about, it brings a story about how he also came across Rabbi Yeshua.
Right.
And Rabbi Yeshua also, he also told Rabbi Yeshua, he was looking at the Mount of Separation and the distance between the upper and the lower waters was very minimal. Right. And then, so the reason there is that Rabbi Yeshua said that he was still mad. And the reason was because he brought a proof for what he derived was in a pasuk that was before what he was talking about. So
I thought that was just the Gemara
was explaining like why he right.
Well, I would say that right. His pasuk is Ruach Elokim Rachev al Pnei Mayim.
Right. So the Gemara says
he's identifying Ruach Elokim with the Mayim Elyonim.
Yeah.
Which I think that's. That's one way of understanding the Mayim Elyonim anyway, you know, sort of being in the spiritual side of it. But it's like clearly it's the problem is not that he got his drush wrong, but that he's looking into Maaseh Bereishit. That's
could understand it on a deeper level that he kind of messed up because he was so focused on Maaseh Bereishit. Like the fact that you could say that the fact that he just quoted the wrong pasuk was just a sign that he was still mad, but the question is that like a siman or a Siba. I mean, is that
the answer to both of these or questions is yes, especially in Hashgacha. Yes. Yeah. It was assigned both, right? Because he was the ultimate Derush, where the Kishamate Ben Zoma made Darshanim, or that's the exact word there.
Right.
The fact he gets it wrong, clearly things were not, something was wrong. But that particular one was, I think, specific what he got wrong. I'm going to stop the recording.